So let's pray.
Father, we just thank you for this body of assembled believers. God, we just thank you that you have commissioned us to do a work in this community and in the world, and we just give you glory in that, Lord. I pray right now that your spirit be with us, that your spirit overwhelm us. We thank you because you said that where any two or three are gathered there, you are in the midst. So we thank you for being here with us tonight. Now speak to us through your word, God, by your Holy Spirit, that our hearts might be pricked, that our hearts might be encouraged, that our hearts might be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. If you brought your Bibles with me, and I hope you did since this is Bible study night, open up to Acts chapter 1. We're going to jump around a lot, but we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. As I said on the last Sunday we were here, every year we give the year a title, I guess we would say. Some sort of direction for the year, and I believe the direction the Lord gave me for this year for the ministry is the year of the Holy Spirit's power. The year of the Holy Spirit's power. Or the year of the enabling of the Holy Spirit. If we were to read starting in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading in the New International Version. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What we're reading about here, I'm going to give you my topic for tonight and for the, I guess, the next few weeks: empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what we're reading here is the empowering for ministry. It's what's described here in verses 1 through 8. And if we look at the Gospel of Luke, when he said in my former book, he's referring to the book of Luke, for Acts is written by the physician Luke. If we look into Luke, we would see the work of the Holy Spirit starting in the beginning of Luke at the conception of Mary, or when Mary conceived the baby of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. This is what we're going to talk about. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. And Mary replied, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. An important aspect needed to experience the power of God and the purpose of God, the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit working in your life is revealed right here in verse 38 in Mary's response after she received the word of the Lord by the angel. One key in Mary's response, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your will. The key that I'm talking about tonight is yieldedness. Yieldedness. Submission. God's will above your will. God's will above your will. Most Christians spend their lives under the impression that they're doing God's will by simply because they attend church regularly. That's all God's will is to them. I go to church on a regular basis. They believe they're doing God's will if they show up at church on Sunday and a couple extra times during the year. It is my goal over the next few weeks to give you a glimpse of what Christianity meant to the early church and what being empowered by the Holy Spirit looks like in practical and applicable levels. I want you to see and hear what it looks like to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in your learning and search for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want you to remember the number one rule. If you've never heard it before, you hear it tonight. The number one rule to have the Spirit operating in your life is to yield. Jesus lived his life with this same attitude. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Yieldedness. Yieldedness. If that's a word, I don't know if it is. It's my word if it's not. Yieldedness. Yield. Luke 24:49, Jesus said these words, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What was the Father's promise? Some would have to ask. What was the Father's promise? In Joel 2:28, the promise that Jesus was referring of, Joel 2:28 says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I want you to know tonight that we're living in the afterward. We're living in that time period that Joel prophesied about, that Jesus referred to as the promise. And young people and old people and little girls and little boys and young men and young women, the Spirit of God has been poured out on all flesh. And the missing ingredient in his church is yield. Yield. Jesus commissioned them and then promised the enabling power to carry out the task by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know tonight that whatever God has commissioned for your life, the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to enable you, and to empower you to carry it out. I'm going to say that again. Whatever God has commissioned for your life, the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to enable you, and to empower you to carry it out. And now I can hear the questions. I know I would ask the question. I know God called me to do this, or I know He called me to do that. So why hasn't it come to pass yet? Why don't I have it yet? Why have I not arrived? I would encourage you to inquire of the Holy Spirit. Ask that same question. You might get the answer, how much of your life have you yielded? How much have you yielded? Now that word yield, we got to define. The definition, not the biblical definition, I'm going by Webster's dictionary. Webster's dictionary, yield is a verb. And the first part of the definition, it means to produce or provide. If we were to use it in the sentence, the farm yields enough fruit to meet our needs. The farm yields enough fruit to meet our needs, to produce and to provide. It also means to give way to argument, demands, or pressures. Its synonyms, surrender, capitulate, submit, to admit defeat, to back down, to climb down, to give up, to give in, to give up the struggle, to lay down one's arms and raise your white flag. Synonyms, to lay down one's arms and raise your white flag. So the angel spoke to Mary, and her response was, "Be it unto me according to thy will." And I want you to know that Mary, I'm guessing they said she was about 13 years old at the time. I don't know how much plan she might have had for her immediate future, but I'm sure she didn't plan to have a baby right away. At 13, she probably had goals, she had plans, she had dreams, things she wanted to do. But when she heard the will of God for her life, she surrendered her life and she submitted her body. Be it unto me according to your will. Most Christians are only willing to surrender to a degree. I will give up that, but I have to keep a little of this now and then. Or, Lord, I can give you this much, but I'm going to hold on to this. I want you to know that when the ground yields its potatoes to the farmer, it can't tell the farmer, you take those over there, I'm going to keep these over here. The ground yields all that it produces. When you are yielded, just like Mary, the Holy Spirit causes you to produce and to provide, the first part of the definition. So when you yield to the Holy Spirit, then you are able to produce and to provide. Ephesians 4:16 says, and this is, y'all know, my favorite scripture. For him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Most churches are lacking in money and in physical and human resources. Most churches are stagnant in growth because the members are not 100% yielded. And I want to add in saying that everyone wants 100% return or 100% yield. When you do give, when you do something, when you do, you want 100% yield, But very few give 100% yield to the Holy Spirit. And we can look at Mary, who not only yielded as a young woman, but even 30 years later, if y'all don't remember, 30 years later, Mary is still yielded at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. What does she do? She said to the servants, after she called and asked Jesus and said, "We've run out of wine," her attitude was this. She looked at them and she said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Yielded. Yielded. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. We often over-spiritualize and we miss the mark because we make following the lead of the Holy Spirit so complicated. We make it all hard when it is as simple as what Mary says. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's what yield is. And it's hard for us because life happens. All kinds of stuff gets in the way of our yield. All kinds of stuff gets in the way of our yieldedness. Look around you. Every church in America would be filled on Sunday morning and Wednesday night or whatever night they have service if believers were yielded to the Holy Spirit. You think the Holy Spirit said, "No, I'll go home and stay home tonight. You don't need to fellowship with the brethren. You don't need to go out there." No. Every church would be overflowing and full, not with just sin, not with sinners, with believers. There's enough believers to fill every church building there is. Churches would be packed if believers, Christians, would just trust in the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and to lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. What does that sound like? Sounds like yield. It sounds like yield to me. Stop doing it your way and give way to the Spirit is what that's saying. Stop doing it the way you're accustomed to doing it and let the Holy Spirit have his way. It's getting in a different mindset. It's trusting him when it's hard to see a way out. Yield. Yield. Yield has to be a conscious, everyday commitment and decision. Why do I say that? Because yield goes against what our flesh wants to do. Nobody wants to yield the right of way. Just go out and try to get on the highway and see if anybody moves over because you're trying to get on. Nobody wants to yield. Yield goes against our human flesh. And you get in front of somebody and go too slow. Yield goes against our human flesh. But what does the scripture say? Galatians 5:16-17 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You won't sit home when church is going on because you're tired or your show's coming on or something like that. You see, what we got to realize is that gratifying the flesh is not always having premarital sex or eating too many donuts. It's not always sitting in the closet watching porn or any of that. Gratifying the flesh is simply not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anytime we're not yielding to the Holy Spirit, guess who you're gratifying? King flesh. King flesh. I tell you, I have a hard time not eating ice cream before I go to bed. Gratifying the flesh. But I want you to know, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. We always look for destruction to come because we out doing the wrong thing. No, it's the little foxes. Those things that we think don't really matter. We got to yield. Amen. Yield. If I could have made a big yield sign and put it on the back wall this week, I would have put yield. Just so that we can always be conscious. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers believers for service. On the day of Pentecost, it says they were all in one accord and in one place. They were yielded. How do I know they were yielded? Well, if you was to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it tells you that they were had retired to an upper room. Now, we're talking the Middle East, and we're talking the end of harvest time. So it's hot. It's hot over there all the time anyway. So they got 120 people in this small upper room. And they don't know how long they're supposed to wait, but it says they're in this upper room. Heat rises, y'all know. So it's hot in there. 120 people, plus the 12 disciples, plus Mary and Martha and all those. So over 120 people in this small room waiting. And they didn't know what was going to happen. They were just still told, wait and expect the promise of the Father. They didn't even know what it looked like. But they were told to wait and expect. They had to be yielded to stay in that hot room with 120 folks to pray and just wait. So why am I so big? And I'm going to say this again on Sunday. So y'all going to have to hear it again on Sunday. Not the whole message, but this part. Why am I so big on people coming to church and people coming out to Bible study and people coming out to prayer? Number one, because it's what the early church did. It's just that's how they started. They were in a prayer meeting when the Holy Spirit fell. Amen. They were in a prayer meeting, 120 of them gathered in the heat. Number two, because that's how the body becomes united. That's how you get in one accord. Amen. When you come together on a regular basis. And you pray together and you learn together. That's how you get on one accord. And three, because that's how we grow and become producers together. Yes. When we yield, we become producers together. And this only happens when believers individually yield 100%. And they allow the Holy Spirit to move on them and in them in the measure that he desires. In the measure that he wants to. Those people didn't know what was going to happen. But they were willing to wait and to pray until something happened. Let me give you a few examples from the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell. The Holy Spirit came upon for a specific task. And when the task was over, he departed. But the Holy Spirit that we have indwells us, lives with us, enables us for every task that we need to accomplish. Spiritual and natural. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Genesis 6. Noah. Build an ark. It's going to rain. Not knowing, one, what an ark was. And two, not knowing what rain was. It had never rained before. The earth watered itself from within. So not only is building an ark a new concept, there was no land, no water around him or anything. How was the ark going to get down to water if he even know what the ark was for? And what's rain? But Noah, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, followed precise instructions and built an ark. under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, young people, that the Holy Spirit can teach you to build? The Holy Spirit can teach you so many things when you're yielded. He taught Noah how to build an ark.
Amen. That's right.
And because he was yielded, he saved his entire family and a remnant of every living creature that walked on the earth at the time. And he preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit while he was hammering his nails and putting the mud on the boat. Repent, repent, it's going to rain. And nobody listened. In Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah set aside his lofty position as cupbearer to the king. The king sat here, Nehemiah sat here. And when the king wanted something to drink, Nehemiah's job was, he didn't die. Okay, king, that was his job. To taste the food and the drink that the king was going to eat to make sure it wasn't poison. That was Nehemiah's job. He set aside his job as cupbearer to the king because he was moved by the Holy Spirit when he heard the ruin that the wall of Jerusalem was still in 70 years later. It hadn't been fixed. He left his position. He asked the king, and the king sent him, commissioned him, financed the rebuilding of the wall because he was obedient and yielded to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Judges chapter 7, Gideon took on a mighty army with only 300 men, armed with not spears, not bows and arrows, not guns, not knives, but a pitcher, a torch, and trumpets. And it says in Judges chapter 7 that the Spirit of the Lord, if you were to read it and interpret it from the Hebrew text, it literally means the Spirit of the Lord put on a Gideon coat. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself in Gideon, implying that he was so yielded to the Holy Spirit that his flesh was only a covering for the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God who accomplished the task, but Gideon was only a flesh covering for the Spirit of God. In Judges chapter 16, Samson, who was wishy-washy, who was always in his flesh and then out of his flesh and then back in his flesh. But when the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, he exhibited supernatural strength and killed thousands with the jawbone of an ass. What I'm trying to get across is that the Holy Spirit is the most powerful force in the universe. In fact, the Holy Spirit framed the universe.
Yes.
It is that same Holy Spirit that wants to abide in you. It is that same Holy Spirit that wants complete control. Yes, he uses the little that we do yield to him. He uses what we give him. But what would happen if the Holy Spirit could put on an Aaron coat? What would happen if the Holy Spirit could clothe himself with a Malachi coat, or with an Antisha coat, or with a Khadijah coat? What would happen if we were so yielded to the Holy Spirit that all they saw appeared was my flesh, but it was the Holy Spirit operating?
Yes.
So why is 100% yield so hard? It's because it's in direct opposition with your flesh. Galatians, if you would read a little farther, Galatians chapter 5, 17 through 25, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. So let's go back to the definition of yield. It means to surrender. It means to lay down your arms and wave a white flag. Stop fighting against the spirit and fight against the flesh. You should wave your white flag of surrender to the Holy Spirit. Lay down your arms to the Holy Spirit. Stop fighting. Surrender. Now, I got to be a little transparent. And this is hard sometimes because the pastor is supposed to be perfect. We all know he is. But I have to tell you, because this thing is not about the laying on of hands. I'm not preaching about the power gifts, the sign gifts, and all that stuff. I'm talking about the ethical, practical yielding to the Holy Spirit in your everyday life to accomplish the things that He wants you to accomplish. Now, I'm going to have to stand here and admit, and maybe I am glad there's not so many people here, but my temperament has not always been so pleasant. So much so that Pastor Davina, my lovely wife, says that my voice sometimes is harsh, abrasive, threatening, even abusive, she says. Not my words, but my tone and my body language. Harsh, abrasive, threatening, even abusive. So, of course, I made excuses. And I denied, and I refused to see it, but she kept saying it. So finally, one day, I prayed. And this is what I prayed. I said, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which means self-control. So, Lord, I don't see what she's saying, but obviously I need temperance to be in operation and producing in my life. That's what I prayed. I received. What I want you to know is it was already in me, as are all of the fruits of the Spirit and all of the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. He didn't leave some of the fruit and some of the gifts. He's all powerful, all knowing, all encompassing. He didn't leave anything behind when he came and took up residence in you. But it couldn't produce it because my flesh was fighting and I refused to yield. And what you need to see is I can lay hands on people and see them healed. But if I lack temperance, I'm still unyielded. The same Holy Spirit that demonstrates the power gifts is also the same Holy Spirit that gives you the power to personal freedoms and victory in your life.
Yes, amen.
And when I gave up my defense and I stopped my excuses, and then guess what happened? When I finally waved the right flag, even though I didn't see it, when I waved the right flag of surrender, I was able to produce temperance. The first key for believers to see the Holy Spirit operating in your life is to yield. And again, the definition: one, to produce or provide, and two, surrender, submit, admit defeat. Give up the struggle. In order to yield, meaning to produce or provide, you must yield, meaning surrender, submit, give up the struggle, and wave the white flag. In order to yield, produce, you must yield,
yes,
surrender, submit, wave the white flag.
Yes. Amen.
Some people never speak in their heavenly language, which comes with the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And it's simply because they're trying to humanly understand what is a spiritual thing that can't be understood by human minds. Those people in the upper room didn't know what to expect, and they didn't try to figure it out. They just yielded.
Yeah.
They just expected, because Jesus said, expect. Let's stand to our feet.